Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio on the 1st of March, 2022. Thanks for being with us today. A month from now, I can say April Fools, but I can't do that today. Anyway, we got a good show for you today. It's about building curriculum It's about building curriculum, all right, with curriculum-aligned assessments and teaching and learning with the science of reading. And we're going to talk about all those things with some experts. And those experts are my good friends from Centerpoint Education Solutions, Bernadette Mays, and Katie Schumann. So teaching and learning with the science of reading and all about curriculum-aligned assessments. It's really good stuff. And we're going to have a nice conversation with them for the next half hour or so. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website for Equity and Access. Our online journal, our consortium for equity, all our podcasts are over there, plus a ton of other information. Want to read a great magazine for pre-K-12 educators? Go over there, click on our online journal, the cover, Equity and Access, and read through the current issue. It really is just a terrific journal. We're very proud of it. You can also link over at ace-ed.org to our other website, which is called seltoday.org. All right, social-emotional learning, and that's very important these days. We do everything we can to get good resources out to you, so please check it all out. Everything's at ace-ed.org, and you can link over to SEL today if you want to. Okay, without further ado, let me bring on my two guests. We have Bernadette and Katie. I'll start with Katie. Good morning, Katie. It's Larry here. How you doing?
I'm great, Larry. How are you?
I'm just fine. Where are you today?
I am in Brooklyn, New York.
Never heard of it. Where is that? Just kidding. It's a joke. Just kidding. Don't kill me, everybody.
Yep.
Okay.
No.
Where are you, Bernadette, where are you?
Hi.
Bernadette Mays. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Good morning. I am from the beautiful state of New Mexico, from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
You make me jealous. Okay, New Mexico is just, you might want to think about putting this on your license plates. But it is the land of enchantment. It is.
It absolutely is. It is. It's beautiful. We've got the best views. We've got four distinct seasons. It's great.
It's wonderful. And that land of enchantment thing, if you like it, if I see any license plates with that, I'm going to demand a royalty. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Good. Thank you.
Super.
Thank you. That's great. What part of New Mexico are you in? Where are you?
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. Great. And about an hour from Santa Fe. Oh, my God, you're so lucky. It's just
right,
great out there.
Right,
okay.
Yep,
and, of course, they filmed Breaking Bad. Yeah.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Since you're close to Roswell.
Close
to Roswell. And what planet are you from? I should ask that. Are you from Earth?
I hope so.
Oh, good. Good. And did you see them filming Breaking Bad? Did you see them filming Breaking
no.
Bad?
No. No, I didn't. And actually, I haven't watched that many shows. Can you believe it?
I can believe it, but you should watch it. It's just a great show. Okay, long off the air now, but still worth watching. I did love it. And welcome to both of you. Welcome to today's show. It's just great having you here. Teaching and learning
Thank
with
you.
The science of reading. You guys are great. Okay, over at Centerpoint, all right? Centerpoint, I'm going to get it here. Here we go. Centerpointeducation.org. Is that the best way to do the website, centerpointeducation.org?
Yes.
Okay,
you can find it that way. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. It's just great. It's just a wonderful company. You guys really are. And I love doing shows with you, et cetera. So talk to me. I'm going to ask. I'll throw this out to Katie. Katie, you start. Unless you want to pass it over to Bernadette. Bernadette is the senior instructional designer over at Centerpoint Education Solutions, and the director of implementation is Katie Schumann. Okay, so I'll start with Katie. Katie, the science of reading. Talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's talked about a lot right now, and Larry, you might have heard it talked about a lot. You look at education Twitter, you just see it all the time. And so, like, what is this kind of nebulous topic? Really what it's referring to is this very large, interdisciplinary, international even, body of scientifically based research from the past, like, five decades all about reading and any issue related to reading and writing. So once we say the science of reading, that's actually what's referring to. But and when you're talking about it in terms of education, right, specifically bringing that into the classroom, what that body of research really provides us with is a clear answer to why students in the classrooms, right, can have difficulties with reading and writing. And then it also can help to provide educators with some clear implications for how we, as educators, can teach and assess those students to ensure that they can become proficient in reading and writing. So it's really, really necessary research to support us in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. It really, and you know what? That sentence is actually incredibly important. Okay, education is a science. Reading is a science. We know how people learn. Okay, we learn more about mm-hmm. that every day, but we understand how the brain works, or at least we're starting to. And we understand the neuroscience behind learning. And that's why I like the phrase, the science of reading. Because for too long it was just, I'm a reading teacher. But really, you're a scientist. If you've got to follow the science, all right? Bernadette, do you want to add anything more to that?
No, but I can tell you and talk a little bit about why it's important to student learning. Why is the science of reading important? Yeah, and, you know, you touched upon it just a little bit ago when you talked about neuropsychological research, because that is so important to what we've learned about reading. And, you know, we hear about MRIs all the time, but they conduct what is called fMRIs, and that's functional MRIs, and they do scans of the brain, and it's so exciting because when you see the pictures of the brain, you can see what is lighting up and what's working and how these pathways are connecting. And these functional MRIs are actually taken of students or adults actually doing variety of tasks, reading tasks. And then the scientists can see what's working and what's not working, how it's working, and how the brains are developing and how the brain works for skillful readers. Researchers have identified areas and networks of the brain that are involved in processing the speech and print, language and meaning, and all of these processes are necessary for students to read and write. However, what's important to note is that these neural networks, they are not present in brains that are pre-literate. In other words, we aren't born with brains that are wired to read. So for the identified brain areas and networks, right, yeah, isn't that amazing?
It is.
Yeah, so we have to work efficiently for students to be able to gain the skills necessary to become skilled readers, and that's what we're looking at. We're looking at how do we develop those neural pathways in the brain so that students can, and all adults, anybody can be efficient readers. So these skills, these connections, they make the connections between the speech, the spoken word, that is the sequence of letters, and how we make meaning of those letters into words, which we put those words together to make sentences, and we develop that automatic word recognition skills for students. So we're learning all of this, and it's just so exciting because it's opening up the world of some of the answers that we've been looking for so long.
Exactly, and I'll say what I said before. We're starting to understand the science behind learning, and there's a science to reading. And I honestly believe that there's not enough attention given to that in teacher preparation. Okay, I honestly believe that is not enough. We tend to do the same, not the same way, but the way it's been done for many, many years. But there's a science now. Okay, behind us, and we have to do something about it. And Bernadette, stay with me for a second. You know, when we talk about that, or the same thing I just said, okay, I was a social studies teacher for years, okay, in what was then junior high, okay, middle school. And we never touched, nowhere was I ever taught about science of reading or how to teach reading or anything like that, whatever you want to call it back then. My point is, this is important for all teachers. It's not just important. This is my question. It's important for all teachers, K-12. they have to understand this. Every teacher is a reading teacher, though we don't want to admit that. I was a social studies teacher. I'd never say I was a reading teacher, but I should have been. All right? And when you talk about all these things with science and reading, what grades are you looking at? When you focus on it, where is it? Does it matter K-12, or is it more important one grade or another or whatever?
Well, it's important that we really touch on it, and not touch on it, but go in depth in the primary grades. And so we're really focused on what we do in K-2, because if we're effective and if we really know what we're doing, you hit right on it, where teachers in the education program, we really have to put this at the forefront so that we want to prevent any issues. We want to prevent students from having any difficulties. And if we have this knowledge and we hit it strong in the primary grades, then students will be successful as they progress into the upper grades. But you are exactly right. You're so wise, because it is about all teachers. It's about all teachers. All teachers, regardless of content or grade level, need to be familiar with this, right? So if we have students that are wanting to learn in science or social studies or in the music, any field, any of the arts fields, if they're having difficulty with comprehension or, you know, cracking that code, if teachers are informed, then they can prevent, they can help, say, hey, let me help you. This is what I can do. This is what we need to do. So it's so exciting, just of what we've learned and how this impacts each and every educator. And it's not just about teachers. It's also about administrators, any support staff, parents. It's important that parents know about this.
Yeah.
So it's great. It's great. I'm just so, you know, as you know, Katie and I just, we get so excited. And if you were probably looking in an fMRI right now,
and you are excited, and rightly so, and I appreciate all that. So Katie, Bernadette just said, and put CenterPoint, your company, into this. Okay. What do you guys do that helps an educator understand, okay, about the science of reading, how it affects their teaching, and how it affects the way they develop curriculum and assessments, which, by the way, you guys are experts in. Okay, so just put yourself, meaning the company, into that picture. Katie.
Yeah. So I'm going to speak broadly to what you're talking about in terms of, like, how does that science need to be implicated, right, for assessments, for curriculum, and for, importantly, as you brought up, Larry, and we're so glad you did, that professional learning, including pre-service professional learning and embedded professional learning.
Absolutely.
Both are important. So many of... And a lot of folks are very familiar with the National Reading Panel report that came out in 2000, and a lot of the major research findings that were widely disseminated in that report, they were there. They've been around, and they were talked about. But what was done because of that report really varied widely in the interpretations of the findings, as we saw in what came out with curriculum and assessment and professional learning. But to kind of break that down, this body of research is massive. Reading is the most studied aspect of the brain or skill that's being studied. So there are kind of two broad theoretical frameworks. I'm going to talk about one of them that can be really helpful in thinking about how do we get to curriculum, right? How do we get to assessment? How do we get to professional learning? And it is a framework that at CenterPoint we also lean upon, and many professional learning organizations lean upon when thinking about developing curriculum, assessment, and professional learning. And that is, there are two. One is a simple view of reading. The other is called Scarborough's Reading Rote. But I want to talk about Scarborough's Reading Rote only because it really does a great job of, like, nuancing a little bit about what's going on when you're for a skillful reader. And so in 2001, Dr. Hollis Scarborough came up with this model. And basically, it looks like two big ropes that twist together. And one of those ropes is called word recognition, and another one of those ropes is called language comprehension. Now,
it sounds like a double helix in DNA.
It is 100%, Larry. Yes,
there you go.
It does.
Well,
it does do that.
Well,
right?
Illustrated verbally, I have to tell you. I like that. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad. I'm also talking with my hands. You can't see me, but I'm doing a lot of
stuff. Okay. But that's all right. I knew you were, but what you say, and it's a great way to describe it, if I may, the DNA of reading. Say it again. Say the two ropes again. I like that. Go ahead.
So you've got word recognition and you've got language comprehension, right? Now, ropes within of themselves are made up of smaller strands, right? And they're braided. Those strands are braided or woven together. So within the word recognition strand, if you will, there are discrete woven in skills, right? Intertwining skills that are necessary for a reader to actually have what we call word recognition, seeing those words and being able to read them. So they need to have phonological awareness, which is being aware of the spoken sounds of the words, being able to take the spoken sounds and attach them to the printed letters. So that's your decoding, right? Then you have actually the sight recognition. So once students are actually, you know, I know the sounds, I know the letters, I can put them together, and I know some words, then they start being able to read and recognize familiar words. So that rope gets twisted by building in automaticity. The other rope on the other side is coming in to twist with that word recognition. That's language comprehension. That's a big rope, and it's got background knowledge and vocabulary and language structures and verbal reasoning and literacy knowledge, and that's all twisting together and becoming more strategic. And at the end, those two ropes become this giant, massive intertwined rope that is equated in this model to skilled reading. That's how we're getting to being a skilled reader. And so when you're thinking about that, right, you've got all those strands, it lays out for you, that's what we need to be teaching kids. That's how we need to be assessing students. We need to be able to identify these discrete skills for students, right, being able to identify what we need to assess and what those implications are for how we should assess students and what skills should be included in your curricula. They need to be, as Bernadette said earlier, they've got to be explicit because our brains aren't wired for this. We have to teach, everybody how to do this, right? And then that knowledge base that I just talked about, that's just one model. And I'm so glad that describing that was helpful. But that's that one model. As you can kind of illuminate, you can say, oh, wow, that really helps me to have an understanding about what I probably should be doing in my classroom. So at center point, when we're building our curriculum, we're building our assessments, and we're thinking about professional learning, we provide teachers with rationales, right? For every item that we're putting out there, we try to give some instructional guidance, and we base it on these frameworks, right? So that it's going to make sense for them. We're not just going to give you an assessment, here's the outcome. A lot of times what teachers are left with right now is they have maybe a great assessment, but they don't know what to do with it. Right, they give the students an assessment. They're like, okay, I gave the assessment. There we go.
Exactly.
Right, and so what we want to do is be able to give them something direct. You know, so for example, we have kindergarten through second grade aligned interim assessments, right? And so Bernadette was actually one of the key designers on that. And so
Congrats, Bernadette.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah.
Congrats.
She did an amazing job. Students are given a question, right, maybe about how to spell a word when writing a response, students or how students have to say the sound is going to impact maybe how they're going to spell that word correctly. Remember that rope. They've got to have the sounds and they've got to have the letters mastered to be able to read. And now I know the reading rope talks about reading, but it's a reciprocal process. And spelling in general is going to fall behind reading skill development because it's a more challenging process to have to think about the sound and remember the letter and put it on a piece of paper versus just recognizing it, typically, not always. So an example of this, if a student is asked to spell a word like, I don't know, bat, for example, right, but the student puts a P and makes the word pat, it may be because maybe they didn't have quite the proper sound articulation. Maybe they aren't saying the sound correctly or they're not hearing the sound correctly and attaching that to the correct letter. There's nuances in the sounds. So one of those sounds we could call a voice sound because if we say the sound like b, our vocal cords vibrate. But if we say the sound you shouldn't have heard anything, maybe a puff of air coming out of my mouth on the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it's an unvoiced sound, right? Those nuances, you hear all I'm talking about, voice and unvoiced. It sounds like speech and language pathology. But really,
I'm just going to say that to you. It does. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that.
you really, the speech and language pathologists in schools, untapped resource right there in terms of some of these things.
You aren't kidding.
Right?
You aren't kidding.
Because that is one of the huge important pieces when we're talking about learning language, right, and written language. How could we avoid sound? We can't avoid sound and the nuances of sound and student, you know, teachers being able to say sounds correctly, students being able to hear sounds and say sounds correctly, and attaching those to the correct letters. That's a whole skill in and of itself, way, right? We give some guidance for teachers on what they could be doing. So in that example of the pat versus bat sort of situation, yeah, we would be giving the teacher instructional guidance on what they can do to support students with the potential hiccup that was shown on that assessment, right? So they have something concrete to do with it. And I think that's the biggest piece sometimes is that teachers want to know this, right? Teachers, educators are hungry for this. The field is talking about this, but it can feel very nebulous, can feel very large, and you're not really sure what to do with it. And so we definitely try to enter the space in a way to make it so that our assessments or any of our other products are really our tools to make sure that educators can make those instructional decisions that are going to help students become skilled readers.
Right. I just did a little column. It'll be up on site about tools for teachers. And sometimes teachers think that the tools we offer them are going to replace them. And the tools are to help them and give them more time to do the job properly.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
and this, right. this is just them, it's give, just another one. There's always
right.
always that scare. But I have a question. I think I want to ask this to Bernadette. Bernadette, if I'm not mistaken, are you Latino?
Yes, I am.
Okay. My question is, when Spanish, as an example, is your first language, all right, you hear things and say things differently. Okay, then if English is your first language or Arabic is your first language, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
All right? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. So when you look at the science behind reading and learning, and since you live in New Mexico, it's a good place to talk about it. As you talk about kids with ELLD, in Arizona and Texas and literally all over the country, okay, how do you design curriculum that meets the needs of those kids? I know you're capable of doing it with all this science in mind. Talk about just the need for this to do it right, especially with ELL kids.
Oh, gosh, I'm so glad you asked this question, Larry. That's super because that really piggybacks off of what Katie was talking about as far as the design of some of our assessments and the rationale, because that does impact a student's the dialect that they use or the sounds from one language to another are different, and
mm-hmm.
And we need to recognize that, and we need to know that, and we need to point that out to our the teachers need to be aware of that, parents need to be aware of that, and students need to be aware of that it's not a deficit, but it's an asset to have that second
Absolutely.
Or third language, right?
Absolutely.
And by being aware of the sound system, the sound structure, then we highlight those differences so that they can be successful in learning the English language. And at the same time, they can still maintain their primary language and just
right.
think about what they're learning. Just think about the how wonderful that is for their future to be able to develop and be skilled in two languages. So you're exactly right. As I said earlier, you're so wise and so keen and astute.
Stop saying that. I'm starting to get a swelled head.
Well, you're very astute as to what the implications that this has for our teachers
mm-hmm.
and for our students, and it's
it
just
does.
Exciting because teachers are finally saying, "I finally have the answers. I finally get it. Now I know what I can go back and tell my parents. If we have a parent conference, or what I can tell my students to say, hey, let me tell you, let me show you the difference between that B and that P, right? And just think how exciting it is for them to say, oh, I get it, because now that teacher has that explicit instruction to provide the students and that guidance for them to be successful. And remember, that's what assessment is all about, is to gather that information to monitor the progress and to inform
that's
our
right.
teachers and educators, principals, your SAT teams, your PLC teams on, what do I do next and how do we work together as a team to come up? And that's one of the things that we try to do is to support our educators in giving them these answers through these resources in assessments, so that
they have
an assessment
and
it makes
sense. Yeah, it's giving the right feedback to the students, and that's each student in a, kind of in an individual basis. Okay, every kid is different.
Right.
Okay, and, you know, that's why it's important to assess crowd. Obviously, I'm speaking to the choir. Assess correctly, build curriculum around the needs of those particular students, and then assess it correctly and give the right feedback, okay, to that. So I'm curious, and Katie, I'm going to ask you this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Katie, when you go into a school district, okay, and let's just pretend it's Albuquerque Public Schools as an example, since we're down there.
Oh, well,
okay.
Bert, that would be the expert over there, but I'm going to answer your question, Larry.
Yeah, with plenty of ELL kids, okay, you're probably working with them already. But when you go in, Bernadette, if you want to answer this, you can, but I'm just using Albuquerque as the example, okay? How do you figure out what the district needs? And how do you what's the process of understanding the district or student needs, however you want to say that, and creating the right curriculum and assessment for them? Okay, don't give away any trade secrets, but you know what I'm asking. What's the process for you guys? Okay.
I'll take a stab at it, Larry.
Go ahead, Katie.
What you're kind of alluding to there in that question is something at Center Point. What we do is we do some alignment reviews for schools and districts. So we'll come in and take a look at what they're currently doing. And so I will speak to, I've worked here in New York City for, 15 years, and I've come and worked in a lot of different New York State public schools. When I come in, we'll definitely be looking at what curriculum are we using, like at a base, what is the out-of-the-box situation that you've got going on, because oftentimes what's in the box and what's in the classroom can be different, but if we want to know what's the curriculum that you have and what assessments are you currently using, and then looking at both of those, right, and we turn toward, you know, resources that really help us to know. I mean, we have alignment reviews, and no, I won't be giving away any trade secrets of our alignment review, but, you know, great examples of, you know, programs that meet high-quality curricular standards can be found on, like, Ed Reports, for example, right? You have those green, like, curricula. So we'd be looking for those pieces, right? And then the other thing we'd be looking at is looking at how those pieces live in classrooms. And if there is that disconnection there, the other big piece that definitely looking for is what does professional learning look like in the schools? That's a real challenge.
I love that.
I mean, we're working directly. Just yesterday I was working with some folks and out of Detroit virtually, and trying to transition in from one period to the next period, and you're dropping your students off, and really you only have your educators in one space for what, maybe 30 minutes. And so you're trying to impart knowledge. So really looking at the structures within the school or the district that are available for professional learning and what is being done with that professional learning time. You know, that can be a real magic, not magic, it's never, there's no silver, there are no silver bullets here, but truly to have the system working together. You know, at Center Point, we believe in that aligned education system, but that's the key. To having that student success and to having educator success is one where that curriculum, that assessment, and the professional learning, they're coherent. They're aligned to those rigorous standards that we know of. But the same is true for the success of bringing the science of reading to bear in that school or district. The curriculum, the assessment, and the professional learning all need to come back to that science of reading base for success.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we were coming in to look at it and thinking about, are students getting what they need? And I'm not going to just lump in all different types of learners together, particularly students who are learners of a second or third or fourth language. However, I will say, we know from the science that what is going to support general struggling readers is going to support those students too. And the other thing we know is that even for proficient readers, like students just pick it up out of the box, getting explicit instruction in this doesn't hurt them. It actually helps them and makes them even stronger. So the advocacy there, if you will, is that when we come in, we're looking for that. Yes, we're looking for the high quality resources to be there. You've got to have those. but we're also looking for how those are getting interpreted and how teachers are, and all, frankly, like Bernadette said, leaders need to know this, families need to know this, you know, how is everybody being supported to understand how these pieces work together and how they're informed by the science?
And how close are we to, when you go into a given school district, how close are they to understanding this already, normally?
Bernadette, feel free to add on, but normally, Larry, if we're looking nationally, it is still in an infancy stage.
Yeah.
But we are seeing we're seeing national trends, right? We're seeing national trends in purchases of content-rich, high-quality literacy curricula, right? We're seeing trends in high-quality assessment, especially in the early grades for literacy coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing this, a lot of professional learning programs coming about. So I think the pieces are starting to fall into place, which is great. But if I had to say, I'd say we're still in an infancy stage if we're looking nationally.
But
Larry, you know, I want to add in that here, that what you do, your platform, is, you know, some of the things that we need nationally to help us move towards this realm, that to know that the science of reading informs how proficient reading readers and writers develop, and we're grateful to you for this.
Oh well, I'm grateful to you for the information. Thank you. That's nice. I appreciate the compliment. I do indeed. But we do it for people, and I'll tell you what always astounds me about all this is that, you know, everybody needs extra learning, but I'm always amazed that the teachers seem to be a little bit more behind. I don't know what's going on in education schools sometimes. I really mean that. I don't mean to put them down. I know they have good hearts, but I'm always just amazed when I talk to this and what the teachers need to really get their job done really well. Okay, and it says like center point. I mean, you guys go in there and really, 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 really do good work. And, you know, on that note, I have to ask, you know, one of the things, and I think Bernadette mentioned this, you know, when we look at curriculum and when we look at assessment and when we look at the feedback teachers give, all right, it's all to go to the next step. And how coordinated are we to the next step? All right, and I'm talking about grade to grade to grade. You know, the Detroit the schools are much better there, but they used to just pass kids through, and that's any given big city. They used to just pass kids through, okay? And eventually the junior high or middle school teachers would blame the elementary teachers because the kids were so damn stupid, quote unquote. The high school teachers would blame the junior high teachers. Okay, I feel bad for the elementary teachers. They had nobody to blame except the person before them. All right? And, of course, that was just the human nature doing that. All right? So my question is the next step. All right? We got to prepare kids for grade-level expectations and the next step. How good are right now? Okay, I'll throw this one to Bernadette. Bernadette, where are we now on that? The teachers understand and move kids forward and understand what they're actually doing this for the next step.
Right. You know, and I think something that's important here, Larry, is that, you know, I always say this whenever I work with teachers or, you know, any presentation that I give, that this whole notion is, it's important that it is not a blame game, that teachers, educators are doing they're doing the very best that we can. And we need to acknowledge that, and knowing that the more information that we get out about this research, what we know will help our students to be successful, will enable our teachers and every educator to prepare kids for that next step. No one wants to see, and we all know this, no one wants to see a student move to a next grade not being successful or not having the skills. But having this knowledge, and teachers are asking for it. They ask for it all the time. Mm-hmm. What do I do next? You know, help me. And
exactly.
Just giving them that question, right, to help us prepare kids to move to the next grade. And it, you know, it comes back that we need to work as a team to say, you know, guide me. I know when I was working in the middle school a few years back, and, you know, teachers, other content teachers would say, you know, I'm really struggling. You know, I thought I taught my students how, you know, to learn the science content, but they're not getting it. What do I need to do? So as a reading specialist, you know, you work as a team, you work as as a group to support each other. And I think that's, it's really important that that people hear that, that it is not a blame game, that we need to work together to be able to move our students from one grade level to another.
That is a fabulous point, and for years it has been a blame game. Okay, it's almost a funny blame game. We've been doing it for years, blaming the ones before. Okay,
but
we're all trying to get it. There's a million analogies, but we're just trying to move the whole train forward. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It just has to be. You know, it's that incredible. This was wonderful, ladies. I really appreciate all your insights. You guys are great. Okay, and I'm sorry I got you up so early, Bernadette. What time is it there, for goodness sake? What is it, 20 of what?
It's early. I mean, it's not that bad. It's only 7:30. I'm up and about every day anyway. So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. This has been energizing.
Thank you. It's been energizing for me, too. But thank you for getting up so early and doing this. I do appreciate it because the insights are incredible. Katie, thank you. Just great. Okay, appreciate
it. Thank you, Larry. Yeah,
I love having you on. And by the way, I know Sarah is listening. Hello, Sarah Bidwell. I know she's listening. I see her up on the screen. Okay, hi, Sarah. How you doing? When she can't talk, I won't let her talk. Should I let her talk? Wait a minute. Let's see if she'll come on. Hold on. Sarah, are you there? I'm going to put you on, Sarah. Sarah, are you there?
I'm
Sarah?
Here, yes. Hello.
I saw nice you were listening. Yeah. Sarah? What happened? Anybody there?
I'm here, Larry.
Oh, good. Hi, Sarah. How you doing in New York?
Can you hear me? Yes. Hi. I'm doing quite well, thank you. How are you?
I'm just fine. Sarah runs marketing for Centerpoint. I'm doing great as well. Watch it. Look in the snow just like you're doing. Okay, in upstate New York. Okay, here in Maine.
Absolutely.
All right? Snow is white stuff that falls from the sky, Bernadette. It's cold.
Well, you don't see it too often, depending on where you're at in New Mexico.
That's true.
You do have the greatest ski valleys in New Mexico, so it's good. We can compete with you all.
New Mexico is a great state. It really is. As is lovely Nuevo York. Nuevo York is also good, too. All right. Ladies, thanks a million. You guys are terrific, okay? And I'll make sure everybody knows, okay, where to get all the information on CenterPoint. So thank you all. Have a good day, and stay healthy, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon. Thank you. Bye, ladies.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. That's Sarah, Katie, and Bernadette. Sarah joined in at the very end there. Sarah Bidwell from CenterPoint Education, and that's at CenterPointEducation.org, and on the description of the show, I have a couple of links that you might be interested in about what they're doing with assessments, and also a nice link about the actual science of reading. All right, but we archive everything over at ace-ed.org, and check out what we do. Also, check out our SELtoday.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you, everybody from CenterPoint and everybody who was listening. Have a great day. Happy March.